This Maisa Kinalach is at the Seder of a great tzaddik named the Shpala Zayde. The Shpala Zayde is the one that was dancing in the bear suit. And the Shpala Zayde had a Seder, and at his tish, at his table by the Seder, was not only Orachim and his family, but there were Hasidim also that came to the Seder and that watched the Shpala Zayde do the things of the Seder. And one Pesach, a very interesting thing happened by the Seder of the Shpala Zayde. It was after Dom Va'esh V'Simrais Oshan and the Makos and the Tzach Adash Ba'achav, where we pour out 16 times from the wine into the broken bowls. And everybody at the Seder was pouring out their wine into the broken bowls that were on the table. And now it was the time that the Shamash would go and collect the bowls and the wine and would throw it away. But this time a very interesting, strange thing happened. The Shpala Zayde said, "Bring a bottle." And they brought an empty bottle. He wanted an empty bottle. And the Shpala Zayde himself went around. And he took the wine that was in the broken bowls that people had spilled out, the 16 drops. And he carefully poured it into the bottle. And now he said, "Rabbi Yankel, please come here. I want to give you a present to take home with you." And Rabbi Yankel, just being a chassid, was by the Seder of the Shpala Zayde. And he cannot believe his ears that the Shpala Zayde is calling him. And he's giving him a present. But what is the present? A very strange thing. It's a bottle of wine from the drops that are spilled out. Usually, you get rid of these. You throw them out. And here the Shpala Zayde collected it, put it into a bottle and says, "Yankel, here's something for you that you're going to need one day. Take it with you when you go back home after Pesach." Well, Kinalach, even its thing doesn't make sense. It comes from a tzaddik. First of all, you do it, and you know that the tzaddik is giving you something that is for the best. And maybe you'll come to understand it, maybe not. But this came from a tzaddik, and Yankel took the bottle of wine. And after Pesach, Yankel comes home, and his family is waiting for him, the Kinalach and his wife. And they say, "Oh, it's so good to see you. What happened by the Shpala Zayde?" And he says, "Well, the Shpala Zayde gave me this present." And he took out this bottle of wine and he showed it to them. "Oh, Tati, a bottle of wine from the Shpala Zayde. Can we drink it?" "No, no, we can't drink it." "Why? What's wrong?" And he told them that it's from the drops that were spilled out. "Oh, well, what are we going to do with it if we can't drink it? Why did he give it to you?" "I don't know. We'll have to see." And the uncle's wife says, "Well, you know, you better not keep it in the house because, you know, somebody might come to drink it by accident. Where should we put it?" The uncle says, "I'm going to take it to the restaurant. And over there is an empty cupboard with a lock on it, way up on top. You have to climb up to get to it. And over there, I'll put it in the empty cupboard with a lock on it, and I'll lock it up, and I'll keep it up there until we figure out what to do with it." And so Yankel took the bottle of wine, and he locked it up in that cupboard, and he put the lock on it. And he forgot about it after a while because, you know, he couldn't do anything with it. And Sfira went by, and Shavuos went by, and the summer went by, and Tishrei went by, and even Hanukkah went by till the next year, and now it was the winter time, the freezing winter with snow outside. And one night, Yankel is about to close up the restaurant because that night was very little business. Because it was very freezing, there was a lot of snow and ice, and not too many people were traveling outside, so people did not travel into the into the restaurant. So he decides he'll go home early. And he's about to go out the door and lock the door when all of a sudden a wagon pulls up in front of the restaurant and four goyim come out. And they're dressed in these thick coats because it's so cold. And they say, "Hey, don't close up so fast. We need a drink. We're very cold. We need a good drink of mashke to warm us up." And they come into the restaurant and they sit down. And the uncle sees right away that they look like very mean kinds of people, like the kind that you want to run away from. But they already came into his restaurant and he brings them each a glass of mashke. And they drink it right down. "Hey, bring us some more mashke. We're still cold." Well, he brought them a little bit more mashke. He says, "Don't drink too much, you know." And they drink it down. And they're looking all around at the place, looking all around. He doesn't look like, doesn't like how they look and how they're looking around at everything. The uncle says, "Oh, okay, now it's time to go. I wanted to close early. Please pay and go." And they start to laugh. "Pay? Pay? We're going to pay? Yeah, of course. You took the mashke, now pay." And they stand up and they reach into their pockets and pull out these big knives. "Not only we're not going to pay, but you are going to give us all of your money. That's what we really came for. Thanks for the mashke. But now we want money. And so you're going to pay us. You're going to give us your money." And they went to Yankel with a knife. And one of them took out a rope and tied up Yankel. And they went over to the place where he keeps the money. And over there they opened up the drawer. And there was a few coins in there. They took it out. And they take out from Yankel's pockets more money that he's taking home. And now they go through all the cupboards and the drawers and they look for anything that they can take, and they take bottles of mashke and they take anything else they can find that they like. And now they go over to Yankel and they said, "Okay, we have to leave now, but before we leave, we're going to have to kill you. Because if we're going to leave you alive, you're going to tell the police on us and we're going to get in trouble. And so this is going to be goodbye." And one of them picks up the knife and is ready almost, chas v'shalom, to kill Yankel. When one of the robbers looks up and he says, "Hey, look, there's one more cupboard we didn't see. It's got a lock on it. That must be where he keeps a lot of money or something very important. It's way up on top and it's got a lock on it." And the robber climbs up and he tries to get off the lock, but it's locked. And he just takes his knife and turns it over, and he starts banging it with the handle, and he breaks off the lock. And he takes out, now he reaches in and takes out what was inside the cupboard. "Hey, it's a bottle of wine! Look at this! He hides a bottle of wine up here!" And another robber says, "Yeah, you know what it must be? It must be one of those really expensive bottles of wine, the best wine. He doesn't want anybody to drink it, so he locks it up for himself. Well, we're going to show him. Let's drink up that wine. I'm still thirsty." And another robber says, "Yeah, let's try some of that wine. Come on, let's drink it up." And the robbers take the bottle, and each one takes a big drink of the bottle until they finish the whole bottle. And now they say, "Okay, let's finish this job." And they're reaching for their knives again to go, chas v'shalom, to kill Yankel. And all of a sudden, they all fall down on the floor, completely dead. And just then, Yankel's wife comes in, and the police come in, because she was very worried about Yankel. She was very worried that he didn't come home for such a long time. And the police come in and they see these four men on the floor. The police said, "Look, these are the four biggest robbers in the whole country. We've been after them for weeks and weeks. They go around robbing and we can never catch them. And look, we caught them here and they're finished. They're completely They're dead. What happened over here? Well, they untied Yankel, and Yankel told them the story of what happened all the way from Pesach, from the Shpala Zedi, and collecting the bottles, collecting the drops of wine from spilling out and putting it in the bottle and giving it to the Yankel, and he locked it up. He didn't know what to do with it. And he said that the Shpala Zedi said, someday you're going to need it. And the policemen saw what a big mess it was, and they had tremendous respect for the Shpala Zedi. And from then on, of course, not only Yankel was very close to the Shpala Zedi, but even all the people in the town, when they heard this story, they knew about the Shpala Zedi, what a big tzaddik he was. And that's the Maise. Kinalach, this is what happened. One time before Pesach, the Rav got a letter. They brought it to the Rav's house. Somebody threw it in the window. And the Rav was learning, and he saw a letter coming through his window. And he went to open it up. And the letter said, it wasn't in Yiddish and it wasn't in Hebrew. It was in the Goyish language. It said that this year, from the Jewish neighborhood, is going to disappear a child. And this is to get back the Jews, because we know that every year the Jews take one of our children for the matzahs. So this year we're going to take away one of the Jewish kids. Now you remember about the Alilas Dam, right? They used to make such a lie about Alilas Dam. And so now they started a new lie about the Jews taking away the child of one of the goyim. And the goyim made a meeting and they decided they're going to take away one of the children of the Jews. And the Rav right away called a meeting at the shul, and he told all the Yidden, be very, very careful with your kids and watch them very closely. It's very dangerous. Because of that letter, and the mommies didn't let the kinilach go anywhere by themselves, only if an adult was with them, not even to cross the street, and not even to go buy some bread, or to go to the store, or to go to yeshiva. The kids always had to go with somebody, and this way they would make sure that nothing happens to one of their kids. A few days later, the Rav and his wife are waiting for their own son to come out, because he has to go to cheder in the morning. And they're waiting, and the little boy doesn't come out. Usually he's up by this time. Where's our little boy? And they go into his room, and they see that this bed is empty. And the window is open and broken. Oy vey. Somebody must have broken into the room. Where is our little boy? What happened to him? And there was a note on the bed. And the Rav opened the note, and it was the same kind of language and handwriting that was on the first note. And they said, we took your own boy, and we got the Jews back for what they did. That means they came in the middle of the night, and they took the boy from the bed. Hayvei, our child, our son, he's been taken away. And right away the Rav told the Yidden what happened, and they start to search all around for the little boy. And they went into the Goyish neighborhood, and they're asking people, where is the little boy? And the Goyim didn't know. Or else they said they didn't know. And a big search went around, and even the police went around searching, and searched everywhere, and they could not find the little boy, and they could not find even a clue as to where he was. And they searched the whole day, and they searched the whole night, and the whole next day, and the whole next night. And there was no sign of the little boy. Finally, it came Erev Pesach. And the Rav and his wife were so sad. Of course, they believe in Hashem and everything. Hopefully, Hashem will help. But if you're in the middle of a trouble, it's very, very painful. The boy is gone. The goyim had taken him away. Where is he? Is he still alive? And what's going to be for Pesach? Where is he going to be for Pesach? And while the other houses were very busy getting ready for Pesach and cooking and making the charoses and making the maror and getting the table ready and all the things, the Rav and his wife were sitting, they could hardly move, they were so worried, and they could hardly have enough koyach to even get ready for their own Seder. And usually the Rav had many, many guests for his Pesach Seder, and this time the guests knew they have to go somewhere else. The Rav is not going to be in a feeling to have the Orchim or his wife. They didn't want to bother them. And in the afternoon, all of a sudden there's a knock on the door, and the Rav goes to the door and he sees a stranger he never saw before. Must be some maybe traveler, could be a beggar. Looked like he might be a poor man. And the man says, excuse me, are you the Rav? The Rav says, yes. I would like to come to your Pesach Seder. I would like to be your Oirach. The Rav says, well, you know, I would love to have you, but it's just this year something happened in the family and my wife and I are very, very upset, and it's going to be very hard for us to have Orachim. You might have a better time at somebody else's Seder. We'll help you get a place. We can give you the names of people and they'll gladly have you for the Seder. All of our Orachim have gone away to other places, and I think my wife and I are just going to be alone tonight and just with our kids. And the man says, no, I really want to come to your Seder. I want to come to your Seder. And the Rav tries to tell the man that he should go somewhere else, and the man keeps saying, no, please, I want to come to your Seder. Can I please come? Can I please come? Finally, the Rav says, okay, if you want to come, I mean, it's a mitzvah to have Orachim, and you have to make a Seder. And the man says, one favor I'm going to ask. If you can, please wait for me to make Kiddush. But if I'm not here till late, start the Seder without me, but I'm going to come late. I will come with Hashem's help. So if I come very late, you could start without me, but I'll just come later. Okay. And the Rav and his wife thought it was a little bit strange that the man, first of all, he begs to come to the Seder, and then he says, please wait for him to make Kiddush. But he says, if he's late, they should start without him, and then he's going to come later. I mean, what's going on over here? Very odd. Well, it came Pesach. And the Rav and his wife are ready to start the Pesach Seder. And they remember the Oirach. And they're waiting. The Oirach is not coming. What should we do? Should we start without him or not? Well, Kindalach, finally, since it got so late, the Rav made Kiddush, and they started the Seder, and they went to the Haggadah. And finally, later on in the Seder, a very strange thing happened. Before we go and tell you what happened by the Rav Seder, we're going to go into a different part of the story, far, far away, many, many miles away. It's also the day of Erev Pesach. And this is about the time in the afternoon that the Jews are in the middle of getting ready for Pesach. And far, far away there's a church. And in the church, in the yard of the church, is a big fire. A big fire burning. And the yard is full of goyim, many, many people over there, and they're shouting and yelling. And the Galak says to them, today the Jews burned the bread in a big fire, And we are going to also burn something in a fire. And here we have him. And all of a sudden the Galach took out a boy wrapped up in ropes. This is the son of the Rav of the Jews. And we took him out of his room. And we're going to teach those Jews a lesson. We're going to put this boy in the fire. And all the goyim say, yay, put the boy in the fire. Teach the Jews a lesson. And they won't take one of our kids every year for the matzis. Throw him in the fire. And the goyim are yelling and screaming. And the boy is crying. I want to go home to my mommy and tati. Let me out of here. I didn't do anything. And the Yidden don't do anything. It's a big lie that they make up to make trouble for the Jews. And then the goyim yell, hey, you Jews, use the blood in your matzahs. And the kid says, we're not allowed to have any blood. We don't have any blood, even from animals. It's an aveda. This is a big lie. You shouldn't believe it. What do you have to believe? Such narishkeit. Our matzahs are made from flour and water. But they were yelling and screaming. They didn't believe him. And they said, throw him in the fire right now. And the Galach gets ready to push the boy into the big fire. When all of a sudden, there comes a voice from the gate of the yard of the church. Stop! Don't throw the boy in the fire alone. Throw me into with him. And all of a sudden they turn around. Hey, it's a Jew, look! There was a Jewish man standing there. Kind of an old man. Dressed in poor clothes. And they say, look, how did this Jew get to this faraway church? And how does he know the boy is here? And the man says, you want to throw the boy in the fire? Throw him in with me too. Two Jews are better burning than one, right? And the goyim start laughing. Look, the old man. He thinks he's making a joke with us. Come here, we'll throw you in the fire. And the Jew comes closer to them. And some of the goyim got a little bit afraid. What's he up to, this Jew? Doesn't he know that there's hundreds of us and only one of him? And he's not afraid to say, throw him in the fire? And the Yid comes closer. And he says, why aren't you throwing me in the fire? Okay, come a little bit closer, we'll throw you in the fire. And all of a sudden, the Yid did a very strange thing. He turned towards the church, because they were just in the yard, and he yells out the name of one of the Getchkes. In the church are different Getchkes. He yells out the name of one of them. And the goyim start to laugh. Hey, look, the Yid, he's yelling out the name of a Getchke in our church. Isn't that funny? And all of a sudden, the goyim look at the church. And walking out the door is the Getchke. He's walking. Even though he's made out of rock, he's walking out of the church. And the goyim got so afraid. And the Getchke walked over next to the man. And then he called the name of another Getchke from the church. And another Getchke started to walk out. And the goyim are afraid. What's going on over here? How can he call out our Getchkes and they're walking out? And all of a sudden he did another strange thing. On top of the church was a big pointy roof. And on the top of the roof was a metal chicken. And this metal chicken, the way the wind blew, he used to turn with the wind. It was like on a screw. And the way his tail was, whatever way the wind blows, it shows you which way the wind blows. And the Yid starts to yell to the chicken, fly down here, because I need you now. And the goyim start to laugh. But a few of them didn't laugh because they knew if he can make the Getchkes walk out of the church, who knows what he's going to do with the metal chicken. All of a sudden, the metal chicken flew down from the top of the church, just like a real bird. And it flew into the hands of one of the Getchkalach. And then the Yid says to the other Getchke, pull out a feather. So while one of the Getchke was holding the chicken, the other one started to pull out a feather. He pulled out a feather. As soon as he pulled it out, there was a scream. And the Galach next to the boy fell down dead, and he dropped into the fire. Look! He pulled out a feather, and the Galach fell down dead, and he fell into the fire. And then he says to the other Getchke, pull out another feather. He pulls out another feather from the chicken, and another Galach fell down dead. Pull out another feather, a metal feather. He pulled out another one, and somebody else fell dead. Each time he pulled out a feather, somebody drops down dead, and the goyim start to yell and scream and run, and they're running out the gate, they're running for their lives, because as many feathers as he was pulling, people were dropping down left and right on the floor dead, until nobody was left in the yard except whoever died. Only the Yid and the boy. And the Yid untied the boy and he says, come on, it's time to go home for Pesach. Let's go quick. And then, we go back now to the Rav's house. The Rav is having a quiet Seder with his family. And finally, after they drink the cup of wine for Kiddush, and they do all the Haggadah with the four kashes, and they do the second cup, and they eat the Suda, and they do the third cup. Now the Rav says we have to pour out the fourth cup for Eliyahu Navi, and their own fourth cup, and the Koishel Eliyahu Navi, they pour out. And now the Rav takes the candle, and he gives it to his son, one of his sons. He says, go to the door. And we'll all go to the door to say Shavuot Chamascha. And this is the time that Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the house. And they went to the door and they opened the door and they're almost ready to say Shavuot Chamascha. Well, all of a sudden, a man comes to the door. It was the Oirech that had come before in the afternoon saying, please wait for me for the Seder. And the Rav says, where have you been? We waited for you, but you didn't come, so we had to start without you. So you came late? He says, yeah, I told you I'd come late. I was kind of busy. It's okay if I bring somebody with me? And all of a sudden, behind him, he pulls out the boy. Hey, Tati, Mommy, look, I'm home. And they see their son, and he runs into the house, and they're so happy, they hug him, and they give him a big cushy. And all of a sudden they looked around to thank the man that brought him, and he was gone. And they ran down the street trying to find him. They couldn't find him. And they never saw him again. But the boy had come home safe and sound. He told his parents what happened. And they never saw the man again that had come to bring the son back home. Who do you think that man was?